Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It's sex therapy time.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Okay, and a little ears warning. And remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. This week, it's Love Island time. So we're going to talk about holiday romances and flings and sandy bits and motion in the ocean, all that stuff. And our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook, is on the line. Good morning, Rachel.
Hiya, Jen. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. So what sort of numbers are we talking here for people hooking up with someone on their holidays?
You know, this one is really, really hard to gauge because there's been quite a lot of research done on people where it's been like, you know, there's just so many different demographics of people that it's quite hard to tell. But I would say that about the vast majority of us have had some sort of holiday fling or romance for sure. And some of the research has shown that roughly about 10% of people over the last couple of, not obviously over the pandemic, but over the course of a couple of years at a time will have done it. So 1 in 10 over the course of a couple of years, but I would say well over 80-90% of people across their lives, depending on the generation, demographic, and you know where they're from. But okay. Yeah, it's a lot of us.
A lot of us. And why are people so into it?
Oh, there's so many reasons. You know, you've got the escapism, the novelty of a new place, the stimulation of that, the anonymity potentially. People often feel a lot more sort of embodied and sexy when they're on holidays, particularly if it's a kind of a hot place,
yeah.
You know, and they're kind of getting their kit off, that sort of thing. I think it's kind of like the acceptance of a finishing date means that you can also enjoy your time together without the kind of, you know, seriousness or a sense of permanence that can come with finding someone at home. So basically the no strings attached element makes the whole experience a lot more exciting and carefree. And then it can also be an added bonus to have a free local tour guide who can take you to all the best places and potentially introduce you to their friends as well.
Okay, so getting a tour guide in the mix as well.
Yeah.
But what are the risks of holiday flings?
There's a few of them. So there's obviously getting caught up in the infatuation, you know, that you might, obviously it can be absolutely lovely to fall in love with someone and for that to continue afterwards if that's what you decide to make happen and that's possible. But, you know, it can be very painful if you really fall for someone because people tend to find it so much more intense on a holiday fling. So that can be quite painful coming back from that. Then there's also the getting ghosted. That's quite a common one. You know, you might have had a great time and then, you know, the other person might simply not be able to handle saying, right, well, let's leave it here. So you might get ghosted and find that particularly difficult. And then, you know, there's things like getting too drunk. You know, people get really excited on holidays and kind of go past their limits. So that can be a safety issue for sure. Or just like, you know, it can just be dangerous to be getting too drunk, high, whatever it is, and losing your way and not being able to find your way back home or, you know, that sort of thing. And then also there are, of course, physical safety issues for everyone, people of all genders, but particularly women and LGBTQ plus people, that can be a risk for sure as well. Mm. So there's, yeah, the one last thing about the risks of holiday flings is that you might end up really focusing on getting holiday sex or being really involved with one person, which cool if that's what you're into, but potentially you might miss a load of the holiday and doing things of, you know, of that place because you're just too busy having sex, or you end up, you know, sort of ditching your mates and they're really pissed off with you.
Yeah, that's a big one. Okay, so how about how to have the best holiday hookup or romance? How do we do that? How do people do that?
Okay.
Sorry, Freudian slip there. How do people do that? Not me, obviously. I would never do that. But how do people do that?
I think you, okay, so if you're doing it solo, I think depending on the part of the world you're visiting, there's unique differences in the kind of hookup culture, you know, depending on that place. So you should do your best to stay kind of respectful of that, of the place that you are, and doing a bit of research, which will help you increase your chances of fulfilling, you know, the kind of hookup bucket list. I would say socialize with groups. That's a great way to meet people. If you're doing kind of tours and things with people, that can be brilliant. being open to meeting people in general, you know, being kind of chatty within reason. You don't have to be chatting to anyone and everyone who's coming near you, especially if you have, you know, a sense of kind of a safety issue around that. You don't feel comfortable. But, you know, you're kind of being open is going to help you. Going where hookups happen. Again, a bit of research can be helpful that, like, obviously in cities, there's going to be certain kinds of areas of cities and bars where it's more likely to happen. Same with kind of holiday destinations like beach holidays or whatever it is, ski resorts. Considering your time restraints, that can be a helpful one. You know, if you know you've only got a couple of days, deciding, you know, how much time you might want to spend with someone who you hook up with. Also deciding whether you want to use apps or not, because many people just really can't be bothered. And obviously there's places where apps just aren't very popular yet or still or never will be. But also that can be quite helpful. But so you kind of have to weigh up, could you be arsed? Could you be bothered to be swiping on your phone, which might be fruitful, but it also might not. Another thing I'd say is be upfront about your intentions. Be very clear that, you know, you're kind of just looking for something casual, or if you're potentially open to something else developing, I would say be very upfront about that. Bring condoms with you everywhere. That's just going to be a given. And be safe. You know, if you're with people, tell them where you're going. If you're heading off with someone, and, you know, just be careful. Depending on, you know, the place, but also in general. You know, you can get carried away with being excited about going off and having sex in a random place. But again, you've got to be aware of the country and the actual area, because, you know, in some places, hookup sex and, you know, certainly sex in public is illegal or at least taboo. So be careful.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about some tips for having sizzling sexy time on holiday with your partner.
Yeah, so I would say set some sexual expectations first. You know, having a serious discussion before a holiday starts might sound like a bit of a buzzkill, but I think to avoid disappointment, you know, partners should know what to expect sexually while away. Now, obviously that can change. One of you gets a case of the squits, or, you know, you just sort of aren't feeling it, you get sunburnt or something. But ideally have a chat before you go away. You know, would you like to have sex every few days, twice a day when the moment is right? How experimental do you want to get? Are you up for having sex? You know, is it purely in your kind of hotel room or your Airbnb, or are you potentially going to try and have sex, you know, in the sea or on the beach? Again, be careful about getting caught. I think turning the conversation into a game, you know, you could play around with sort of wishes and worries ahead of time, where each partner gets to express any wishes they have around sex on the trip and any worries that they have. And then both partners have an idea of what's going on for the other and can offer feedback on the chances of those things happening and assuage any fears. And then I would say, give yourself permission to be sexually selfish. You know, it can be really lovely on holiday to be able to just sort of be really clear about what you want. I mean, you know, me, Jen, I'd say that all the time. Be very, very clear and communicative about what you want. But it can be lovely to sort of just set aside time to say, right, this is what I want. And sex on holiday can be especially restorative and sort of stimulating. So, yeah, really think about what you want, something that you might have been craving for months, whether that's a tie me up and blindfold me scenario, or, you know, something like a much longer, you know, sort of oral sex session or something like that. So I'd say absolutely give yourself permission to be sexually selfish, and also have fun, you know, maybe have a little mantra. No trip can go 100% smoothly. Beach days get rained out, car trouble happens, you know, sex might be a bit so-so. So try reminding yourself and your partner, you know, this is all a bit of fun and we'll do our best to enjoy ourselves.
Good advice. But when you're getting down to it then, because we've had a lot of questions and texts coming in about sex in water, pools, the sea, jacuzzis. What's your advice there?
Okay, so repeat after me. Water is not a lubricant. If you're into the idea of having sex in a swimming pool, the sea or the hotel tub or whatever, and the potential for a chemical reaction to chlorine doesn't faze you, then, you know, be very aware that sex in water washes away natural lubrication, making it worse than sex out of water, not better in that sense. So you'll need to use a silicone lube, which is waterproof, so not a water-based one. That's the only way way to make sex in the pool or sea super slippery and sexy. And once you're in the pool, you know, I think the possibilities can be pretty gravity defying. Again, you're going to have to be, you know, ideally you have a private pool if you're going to be doing this, because you don't want to be getting caught. But, you know, because of buoyancy, you feel a lot lighter when you're submerged in water. And that means you can lift and thrust your partner in ways that would be impossible in a bed. And so, for instance, you can have the penetrating partner, if there is one, standing waist deep in the water, and the receiving part are floating on their back. If you're both people with vaginas, you know, two female-bodied people, two people with vaginas can scissor in a pool. That can be really steamy and doesn't need lube necessarily. So, yeah, I would say be careful. Don't drown yourself. Sex is never worth drowning. But, yeah, it can be fantastic. Some people swear by it, and other people, it's an absolute no-go. A bit like sex on the beach, where, you know, being full of sand is very sexy for some people and is just the pits for others. Mm. So have an idea beforehand, experiment, but be ready to pause or completely stop if you're finding it just, yeah, okay. Shite.
Waterproof lube, who would have thought? Should people be worried about catching monkeypox on holidays?
You know, okay, the monkeypox thing, we have what? There's like over 300 cases in the UK at the moment. There's only been, what, under 10 in Ireland. So I would say, you know, think about it, because, you know, it's not a pleasant thing to get. And you can catch monkeypox if you have close physical contact with someone who is showing symptoms. And so it absolutely can spread during sex, including kissing, touching, oral and penetrative sex with someone who has symptoms. So avoid having close contact with anyone who has symptoms, for sure. But, you know, also being aware, the virus itself is not a sexually transmitted infection. You know, it is, it's not an STI, but you can still catch it while having sex, for sure, just as you can catch a cough or a cold. So, yeah, I'd be aware of it, but also probably not a massive risk anytime soon.
Okay, well, Rachel Cook, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much for that. That is Rachel Cook, our psychotherapist and mental health consultant. And you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And she'll be back next week. So if you have a question and you would like me to put it to her, get in touch with the team 24/7. You can email jen@rte.ie.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.